Amen. Our reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, starting at verse number 1 of chapter number 2. Please follow as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." Amen. Amen. I want you to look at your neighbor and look at your neighbor with a little attitude, because you ain't got an attitude with them, but you just want them to know what the Lord has done. Look at your neighbor. Just look at him with just a little attitude. Look at him with a little attitude, because you're going to see why in a minute. You're going to look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, he looked past my faults. Neighbor, he looked past my faults." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "He Looked Past My Faults." There's a truth that we all have to realize, whether you know it or not. I hate to break it to you like this, but you ain't perfect. You ain't perfect. I ain't perfect. We all have faults. So since we all have faults, that's why we get excited during this time of year. And I want you to know that we get excited during this time of year, and that excitement shouldn't end because December 25th passes. That's an excitement that stays with us as long as we have breath in our body, because we realize that where would I be if the Lord didn't look past my faults? How would I still be alive if he didn't look past my faults? Would I be where I am right now if he didn't look past my faults? Would I be in my right mind if he didn't look past my faults? Would I be in good health if he didn't look past past my faults? Would I have a roof over my head if it didn't look past my faults? Would I have a bed to sleep in if it didn't look past my faults? Would I be able to have the job that I had if he had not looked past my faults? Would you be married to the person you're married to if he did not look past your faults? You see, the list could go on and on. If he didn't look past my faults, Lord, how would my children be? So when we look at this, the one thing that excites me is that the Lord was letting us know he had to look past our faults. And it's clear in these verses in Luke from chapter 2 and from verses 1 through 20, we see what the Lord had to look past because of the condition of the world. We see about the decision that had been made by the emperor that all had to go back to their hometown and so that they could be registered, because Rome wanted to get their money. They wanted to get their tax dollar. That happened back then. Somebody go work with me. It's still happening now. You might think you can get away from the IRS for a minute. But, and you know, and you hear all this stuff on the radio and TV. I owe the government so much money, and I got help from somebody. But guess what? The government will track you down. If you're home, they're going to get it. But let me come on back, because they want their tax dollars. Now, and what is happening here? Joseph and Mary were nesting in Nazareth. She was in her 9th month of pregnancy, expecting to have her child right where they were. Nesting. Sisters that have had babies, y'all know what I'm talking about. Because when we get close to that child being born, all of a sudden you start getting everything right. That's called nesting. So she was nesting, preparing for her child to be born right there in Nazareth. You see, I want you to understand something. All of us can make a plan. But I want you to understand something. God's plan will always supersede ours. And what she did wasn't wrong, because she figured, I done been here all this time. I gather I'm going to have this baby right where I am. But then word came. On her 9th month, during her 9th month of pregnancy, she had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. They call it the city of David, but the word Bethlehem means house of bread. Now, if Jesus is the bread of life, that's letting us know that he's got to be born in the house of bread. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. So they had to travel roughly 80 miles, give or take a few. And I want y'all to know, as they were traveling, I want you to know they ain't have no big pretty car. They ain't have no Mercedes. They ain't have no Beamer. They ain't have no Lexus, no Audi, no Infiniti. All they had was left and right, and probably a donkey that Mary sat on. While she is in her 9th month of pregnancy, she has to travel a good distance. And we're seeing that they did what they needed to do. And once they make their way to Bethlehem, house of bread, when they get there, they get to the inn. And guess what they found at Diga Rosa? And it says, no vacancy. No vacancies, right? Here is this woman with this man who is she's engaged with too, and now they have no place to rest their heads. But everybody in the town is so self-absorbed in their own stuff, focused on their own thing, that nobody paid attention to this young couple and this woman about to have a baby. Nobody considered opening their doors and helping them out. And since nobody opened their doors and helped them out, we see that they had to go and stay in the stable. You see the fault that is happening within our society. If I'm so concerned with me, myself, and I ain't got time to be able to help you and think about you. You see, I want you to know the Lord had to look past our faults. And the fault of that time in that city, we're seeing, is that nobody would give them a time of day. And because of that, we see that they went to the stable, her water broke, and she had the baby right there in the stable. They had to go lodge with animals. But I also want you to know, it was also letting us know the condition of the world. Could you imagine what a stable smelled like? You see, when you think about a stable, that's the kind of smell that the world had to God. We had such a stench of sin on us that we're seeing that Jesus had to be born into a dark and smelly place because of the fact that the light was not on. We see that sin made everything stink, and that's the world Jesus had to come into. And that's why he was born in a stable. He looked past our faults. And once he was born, what we see Mary do, y'all, and Joseph, you see, they didn't have a bassinet. You see, they had to travel light because of Mary's condition. So they couldn't pack a whole lot. They only had to take the bare necessities. And since they, when they got there, they had no place to lay the Christ child. So they took a food trough, cleaned it out as best as they could, put some quilts in it. No, probably put some hay in it. Then put some quilts on top of that, to try to make it as sanitary as possible. But they were already in a dark and smelly place. And they laid the baby Jesus in the manger. Because he was born in the house of bread. And he was laid in a manger because he is the bread. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. Don't you know that I thank God that he looked past our faults. Because of the fact that, because if he didn't look past our faults, where in the world would we be? And since he looked past our faults, he was born in a dark and smelly place, and he was placed into a food trough. Could you imagine how the horses were looking at him? Wait a minute now, that's where we eat from. Could you imagine the cows starting to move a little harder? Brother Freeman, all right now, I can't eat out of there now. When you start thinking about it, but Jesus is the bread of life. So now here they are in what would be considered some of the worst conditions. And for those in here that work in the medical field, and I know we even have some nurses that were nurses in the area where they perform surgeries. And when they perform surgeries, it's considered to be the most sanitized place. Because once they cut you, your body becomes open to any kind of germs in the air. So could you imagine all the germs that Mary was exposed to, her newborn baby was exposed to? But I want you to understand something, that when God's hand is in the plan, I don't care how bad a situation looks. When God's hand is in the plan, I don't care what can go wrong. If God's hand is in the plan, I want you to know that the Lord that we serve, he'll fix it. I want you to know, when God's hand is in the plan, don't you know the Lord will make a way out of no way? And whatever disease that might have tried to jump on Mary, whatever disease that might have tried to jump on Jesus, don't y'all know it had to step back? Because I want you to know, when God's hand is in the plan, God's got you. Look at your neighbor right now and tell him, God's got you. I know right now you might think that you're in a place where it is so infected with so much stuff, but God has a plan. And since God's hand is on you, the Lord is going to see you through. Somebody done been through some hell and high water. Didn't the Lord bring you through it? Some folk thought that you wouldn't make it out. But since God had a plan for you and his hand was in the midst of it, didn't the Lord bring you through it? But come on, let's go a little further. He looked past our faults. And since he looked past the faults, we see how the world was. But when we get further and look at verse 8 through 20, we see how we categorize people. Because some folk think they're faultless and can put others down because they think you got a lot of faults. Because what we're seeing right now is a whole bunch of shepherds that were responsible for overseeing the sheep that were being brought to the temple to be slaughtered. And those sheep had to remain without spot or wrinkle. And they had the responsibility of taking care of these sheep. But I want you to know that the priests and the Pharisees and scribes, everybody had problems with the shepherds. Because the shepherds could not maintain all the ceremonial cleansing laws. How can you stay clean all the time if you got to deal with sheep? And because of that, they were a necessity, because I don't want to get my hands dirty, so I give it to them and let them get their hands dirty, because, you know, they ain't worth two cents anyway. So we'll have them handle this thing over here in handling our sheep. So in so many ways, the shepherds were always on the outside looking in, because of the fact that they were a necessity, because somebody had to do that job. Just like when we look at us as African Americans in this country, some of us have had folk in our families that did what we call day work. That's called being a maid for somebody else, cooking for somebody else, taking care of somebody else's house and children. But the way that we would say it is that we were doing day work. You see, and because of that, you know, they had folk doing their day work because they didn't want to wash their own dishes. They didn't want to change their own kids' diapers. They didn't want to clean up the mess around them. So I hire you and pay you a few dollars and let you do it. You see, that was something that needed to be done, but I just didn't want to do it. But look at what the Lord has done for many of us. Hadn't the Lord brought us a mighty long way? Hadn't the Lord changed a lot of stuff for a lot of folk because of all the back-breaking work those in our families have done for us? They created opportunities for us to get educated, for us to move forward, to do things we thought we would never be able to do. And when you think about all that God has blessed you with, you can't help but say thank you. But let's go on. So when we look at these outcasts, when we look at these shepherds, when we see how they were being treated, I want you to know society saw fault in them, but they were a necessity. And whenever they came close to town, we knew they were coming because we could smell them before we ever saw them. And whenever they came to get, we gave it to them real quick and threw them back out there with them sheep, because we don't want them smelling up our town smelling like sheep. But after the birth of Jesus, after he was wrapped in the bands of cloths, after he was placed into the manger, I want you to know that we're seeing that God the Father had to make the announcement. And he made the announcement to those who were considered to be on the outside looking in. Those who were considered to be the least were the ones whom we see that God made the first announcement to. Those who are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So I don't want you to ever get caught up in where you are in the line, but know that if God is blessing you, he's going to pull you up front when it's time for you to be up front. I don't care how many folk try to push you aside. I don't care how many folk try to push you to the back of the line. Don't you get caught up with that. You just get caught up in the one who is blessing you, because I want you to know in due time the Lord will take you from the back and put you up in the front. So don't you dare let anybody tell you you ain't nobody going nowhere. You are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are somebody. Why? Because Jesus said you are somebody, and because you've accepted him into your life. Look at what the Lord has done for you. Look at how far the Lord has brought you. Look at how God is blessing you. Do I got anybody who is blessed in God's house? Do I got anybody who knows how good our God is? Do I got anybody who knows that I got some faults, but he looked past my faults? Do I got anybody who realized if the Lord didn't step in right on time, where would I be? All right, let's go a little further. You see, but there's a reality we got to deal with. When you get used to being ignored, you don't know how really to act when folk give you attention. That ain't funny. That's real. When you're so used, Brother Joe, to everybody ignoring you, now all of a sudden folk want to talk to you. You're like, what in the world? What's happening around me? This is what happened to these shepherds. They're not used to nobody talking to them. They just used Reverend Rose to talking to each other. But they ain't used to other folk talking to them. They just used to other folk telling them what to do. But God. Do you see this? But God. All they were doing is what they normally do. Keeping watch over the flocks. And they got to watch them at night. Because the predators wait for nightfall to try to get closer to snatch out one or two of the flock. But at nightfall, we see that an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone round them. And they were terrified. But the angel said, do not be afraid. I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And just so that you know how to find him, he's going to be wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a food trough. And I want you to know, after this announcement had been made, I want you to know, Sister Davis, whenever you receive good news, the next thing that comes is you got to praise the Lord. So it tells us that the host of multitude, or the multitude of the heavenly host, they came down. And I want you to know, it got even brighter in the place, and that they began to sing and praise God. Glory. Do you see it, y'all? Am I making this up? Glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace among those whom he favors. But whenever we come to church, we want to say, don't take all that. But whenever you hear some good news, that is God blessing us. That is God making a way for us. That is God's way of showing us that we're going to make it. And the way that we show God we appreciate it, we can't do nothing but give him praise. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when God told you he's going to bless you, that's time you ought to start praising him. Because we serve a mighty good God. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand he's worthy of the praise? And if the heavenly host can praise him, why do we got to get our pumps primed to praise him? Here, these shepherds were made to feel uncomfortable. Not because that's what God wanted to do to them, but because they weren't used to folk talking to them. And then on top of that, you mean to tell me an angel of the Lord is going to talk to little old me, bring me such good news, and letting me know that the Messiah has been born, letting me know that we are the first to be known what God is going to do? We are normally used to be the last to hear about him. Y'all know how some folks say, every time I hear about it, it probably done came and gone. Why am I always the... But I want you to know, in this scenario, those who would normally be the last to know are the first to know. And after all this took place, we see that all the angels went back up in heaven. And I want you to understand that now a decision has to be made. You see, because I know that I have faults. I know that I've stumbled. I know I don't do all I'm supposed to do. But God took some time out to come talk to me, because the Lord saw past my fault. So since he goes all past my faults, it's left up to me to follow the instructions that God has given me. I have a decision to make. And the same thing the shepherds had back then, it's the same decision we have to make today. Will you go see about what the Lord is showing you? Will you go see that God wants to bless you with? Or are you going to continue to believe that because of your faults, God must have made a mistake? I'm here to tell you, that's a lie straight from heaven. The Lord can do what he wants, how he wants, and to whom he wants. And if God came and spoke to you, I don't care how many faults you had, the Lord knows how toe up from the flow up we all are. So when God comes to talk to you, that's time for you to go on and give him some praise, and then go and do just what he asked you to do. Because look here. Look here, y'all. I want you to see something. Look at this with me in verse 15b. It says, the shepherds said to one another, look at what they said. Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. Do you see what they said? They didn't say, well, let's go see if he's telling us the truth. Let's go see if this is real. Let's go. What do we got to lose? That ain't what is being said here. They said, let us go see this thing that the Lord said is there. And we're going to go do just what the Lord told us to do. Other words, I'm speaking it into existence because God spoke it into existence in my life. And if God spoke it into existence in my life, that means that God's word holds true. God is not a liar. God is not like man. God speaks nothing but the truth. And once God tells you the truth, you need to act on the truth, because the truth is what's going to set you free. These shepherds who were always in the back of the bus, these are the shepherds now who God brought to the front of the bus. Now they had to believe God that they can change their position. You see, my brothers and my sisters, all of us had to change position once we came to the Lord, because many of us were kicked to the curb. Many of us were forgotten. Many of us were ignored. Many of us were stepped over. But I thank God for Jesus, because once we accepted Christ into our lives, we realized that we are no longer a welcome mat. We realized that we are somebody, because the Lord loved us just enough to let us know that he has now repositioned us from where we were to what we are now going to become. Don't you see how these shepherds have now been repositioned? They were always in the back, but God brought them to the front. Are you working with me? You see, some folk always look at you being in the back, but God brought you to the front. And it's all because of who God is. You ain't have nothing to do with it. God had everything to do with it. Now all you got to do is trust God in what he said he's going to do. These shepherds had to trust God. They had to look past their own fault. They had to look past their own faults and do what the word said. God gave them the word. And that word has now become flesh and has now dwelt among them. Will they go and see about this word that God has spoken? Will they go see this Messiah whom God has spoken? They made a decision. And the decision that they made is that we're going. Nobody said, what about the sheep? You know what they say? They don't need for us being concerned with the sheep. Because if God told me to go, then these sheep are going to be all right. You see what I'm here to tell you, my brothers and my sisters? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Get rid of the excuses. You see, I want you to know, many times God is calling us to do things, but we always have a. And you see what I'm here to tell you? God is telling us we got to learn how to remove the. Because God said to you, if God told you to do it, then you need to go and. Because God says, if I told you to do it, I'm going to take care of everything else. So we got to get rid of the. You see, my brothers and my sisters, we're using the excuse because we really don't want to go. We're using the excuse is because we're not sure what's going to happen. But what I'm here to tell you today, if God told you to do it, everything is going to be all right. Do I have some folk who had to doubt themselves and trust in God? Because that's what it really is, y'all. You got to doubt what you think and trust what God thinks. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. Don't you know the shepherds only could believe and do what God said if they doubted themselves and put their trust in him. Because if they put their trust in themselves, the first thing that would have came out of their mouth, Deacon Aldridge, is, who going to watch the sheep? Well, I can't go because I got to watch the sheep. We're always looking for and as long as we're looking for excuses, then we wonder why God ain't blessing us. As long as we're looking for excuses, then we wonder why God isn't moving us the way he wants to move us. Because we allowed our excuses to become our obstacles. God has given us opportunity for us to make it happen. I will no longer allow the obstacles to get in my way, but I will focus on the what? Opportunity. You see, my brothers and my sisters, God wants to reposition you, but in order for you to be repositioned, you gotta book past your own doubts and doubt yourself and trust God. You gotta doubt yourself and trust God. Because as long as you trust yourself, you ain't trusting God. You got to choose who you're going to trust. Because if you're going to trust yourself, your fault's going to get the best of you. But if you put your trust in God, you're going to get past your own faults. Yeah. Oh, somebody going to work with me. So what do? They look past their faults. They doubt themselves and trust God. And in trusting God, they go to the house of bread. And when they get to the house of bread, they're looking for the bread of life lying in a manger. You see why he wouldn't be hard to find, my brothers and sisters? Is that I want you to know that no mother would put their baby into a feeding trough. And so all they had to do was just go there and they would find him very quickly, because all they got to go do is look for feeding troughs. And if they see feeding troughs and they see animals eating in it, they know he's not in that one. So they just kept on looking. And don't you know, God guided them directly to find Jesus. And when they found Jesus, y'all, it tells us that they started telling everybody about what the Lord had told them, about what the angels had revealed to them. And they began to glorify God while they were there. And when they left glorifying God, because God looked past my faults and he saw my need. I was tired of being last. I was tired of being dismissed. I was tired of being looked over. I was tired of being passed by. But Lord, I am so grateful that you didn't dismiss me. You didn't pass me by. You came and you looked me square in the eye and you told me that I am somebody. Isn't that why we're here today? Isn't that why we're excited about Christmas? Because the Lord did not pass us by. He came to reposition us. He came to let us know there is a better way. He came to let us know it's time for us to doubt ourselves and start trusting God. Because when we put our trust in God, won't the Lord do the impossible? Won't the Lord turn it around? Won't the Lord make a way? Won't the Lord bless us? Won't he step in right on time? Won't he supply all of our needs? Won't he keep us in our right minds? Won't he give us what we need, how we need, and when we need? When we think about all that the Lord has done for us, I don't know why you're sitting down right now. Because when you think about how good God is, when you think about what he's done for you, what you think about how he's blessing you, when you think about all that he is doing, he looked past my fault. You see, I'm excited because he looked past my faults and he blessed me in spite of me. Do I got anybody who's excited that God looked past your faults and he supplied you and he met you with all that you need?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You see, my brothers and sisters, there ain't nothing but love. It's God's love. Because God loved us in spite of us. He looked past my, because he saw how much we needed him. He saw how lost we were. He saw how we were lagging in the back. But God came to get us, to bring us to the front. You see, he repositioned us. And since we have been repositioned, I want you to understand, you got something to praise God for. Because of the fact that you are no longer a nobody going nowhere. God has repositioned you, and you're now a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are somebody. If you know you are somebody, turn to three folk and give them a high five and say to them, I am somebody.
I am somebody. I am somebody. I am somebody. I am somebody. I am somebody. I am somebody.
You see, when you know what he's done for you, when you know he's repositioned you, don't you dare let anybody throw dirt on you and tell you you're nothing. Because you now are something. Because you received a gift that has changed your life. You received a gift that wasn't temporary, but a gift that is eternal. The gift of Jesus has took us from the temporary and moved us to the eternal. When you think about all that God has done for you, you can't help but give him the praise. You know why? Because we were not worthy. We were not worthy. Mary wasn't worthy. Shepherds weren't worthy. Joseph wasn't worthy to be his earthly father. Then and even now, none of us are worthy. Because we all have faults. And those faults are the things others define us by. But I thank God, he doesn't define us by our faults. He realized that that's not what he came to do, is to focus on our faults. He came to meet us in our needs. Our faults sometimes come from how we do, because of the fact that things happen to us in life. And because of the things that happen to us in life, we live in a manner which causes our faults to come to the forefront. And that's why the Lord had to come and not just make us look good on the outside. He came to make us good on the inside. And that good on the inside is going to come to the. But some folk made a mistake and got it twisted, because folks started looking at you and said, oh, you're such a good person. Yes, I know how good I am. Yes, I am. I'm just good like that. No, God is good like that. God is the only one that stopped you cussing. God is the only one that stopped you from, and you fill it in. And some of us got to put this, comma, 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 comma. On the, or better yet, et cetera. So that's why we're excited at the Christmas. The Advent ceased because God took us from a temporary and gave us the eternal. So I know on this Tuesday, some folk going to unwrap some gifts from under a tree. And when you unwrap those gifts are just, oh, somebody catching that. It's temporary. But when you wake up on Christmas morning, you got a shout in your heart. A praise in your mouth. Because you know you already got an eternal gift. And his name is. Thank you, Lord. For your price you paid for us. You know the amazing thing about our Christ. And I'm going to shut it down. The world did not make room for his birth. But they made room for his death. Because they made sure they had a cross for him, Sister Rose. They had nails for him, Sister Rose. And they made sure, Mother Austin, they were going to drive them nails in him on that cross, because they made sure they had room for him on the cross. But they didn't have room for his birth, because they felt if we kill him, that was it. But we know that was just the beginning, because early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. And he paid the price for us. He looked past. Make it personal. My fault. So that I could be where I am right now. And every time I think about where he bought this big head dude from, when I think about what could have happened to me at my birth, being a breech baby and an umbilical cord wrapped around my neck, my mother and I almost both died. When I think about a scenario that happened when I was 2 and a half, when a man broke in our house and could have killed my mother and I. When I think about what the stupid stuff I did in my teenage years on them streets. But God, when I think about August the 16th of 2013, what could have happened to me? But I am still here. Not because I'm all that. It's because he looked past my. And that's not just my story. You got your own story. Because didn't he look past your faults? Didn't he see your need? Didn't he meet you where you are? Didn't he clean you up? Didn't he heal you? Didn't he deliver you? Didn't he make your life brand new? Do I got anybody who knows how good our God is? Do I got anybody who doesn't mind giving him some praise? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done.